بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I was reading one malfuz of Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayh this morning. Hazrat is the mujaddid and the one that had revived the science of tasawwuf after approximately 100 years. So he says that I take an oath that without the guidance and without the assistance of the one that is well versed in this path, one can't reach Allah Ta'ala. There must be some reason why in every salah we recite the verse اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path that you have favored, the path of those whom you have favored. Allah Ta'ala could have used a different approach, that the path of the Quran, the path of the Hadith, but he chooses the word, the path of those that you have favored, impressing upon us that without adopting the company of the selected class, those that have gone through this path, those that have experienced the ups and the downs of this path, you can't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was always from the time of the Sahaba Ikram, they needed Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those that came after, they had required the Sahaba Ikram, and those that came after required the Tabi'een, and so forth and so on. So this assistance and this direction from the Allah Wala is imperative, without which we can't continue. The entire text of the Quran Sharif is the Surah Fatiha. And the very essence of Surah Fatiha is اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Show us the right path, the straight path. This straight path is such a comprehensive dua that it relates to all matters pertaining to this life as well as the next. In the hereafter we understand what is the meaning of Allah Ta'ala guiding us onto the right path. In this world also we require the straight path. We're doing a business and we want to be guided correctly, that I'm making the right investment, I'm going into the right business, I'm going into the right profession, right? Don't we require that assistance, that guidance, that directive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'm administering some type of a method, technique, medication. Don't I require that assistance from Allah Ta'ala? I definitely require it. Do this. At this moment, do this, do this, do this. And you will see, when a person has got the assistance from Allah Ta'ala, then a very, very complicated situation, and very easily he finds a solution to it. You will not say that it was the kamal and the achievement of that professional person. Rather, it was the assistance of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala guided you, showed it to you. Do it in this way, do it in this way. Very simply, very, very simply, Allah Ta'ala will guide you through. Hazrat Mawlana Habibur Rahman Sahib, Ra'isul Ahrar, very great alim of India, an editor of several newspapers, a political leader. So he was on his way to Raipur and he had stopped over at Saharanpur, met Hazrat Sheikh Mullah Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And he says, I'm on my way to Raipur, I'm in a hurry. I've only got about half an hour with you. But give me a detailed answer. you can think about it. I'll be back in 3 days. So you can research the kitabs, you can discuss it, and after 3 days you give me a detailed explanation to this. That what is this entire tasawwuf all about? So Hazrat explained to him that the tasawwuf commences with the rectification, correction of the niyat. In every deed, every action, how small, how big it may be, but the correction of the niyat. This is how true and how important. Normally what happens is when we get into the rhythm of namaz and other ibadat, etc., then the aspect of ikhlas and sincerity is somewhat forgotten, or it is overlooked, it is ignored. Before, when we had pulled out that 5 rand to give out as charity to the poor, then we looked into our heart 101 times, said, is my niyat right or not right? Is it crooked? What purpose am I doing this for? But then after we got into the wealth, then we are giving 5,000 rands. That same person that was in the position of giving 5 rands, now is giving 5,000 rands. Now we inspect our intention. What is the intention all for? Is the intention right, or is the intention crooked? Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi says that one of his students had come to Thanabon and he wanted to make a contribution to the madrasa. So anyway, Mawlana asked him that you want to make this contribution, you want to make this donation to the madrasa, but are you coming from Panipat? And Panipat has also a masjid and a running madrasa, and there are a lot of deserving people there. So why did you prefer bringing it here and not distributing it in Panipat? So Mawlana says that there is a doubt that has entered my mind, and the doubt is that perhaps you were supposed to give that amount in charity, but you preferred giving it here in Thanabon for this reason, that here the sheikh also, the peer also will get happy, and it will go into charity as well. I'm giving it for this madrasa, but there is a dual intention. The one intention is that my peer, Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah, he'll be happy, and then it will go into charity as well. So he looked a little bit embarrassed, said, Mawlana, this is the truth, this is my intention. Said, well, this is a type of shirk then, that you intending my pleasure and you intending Allah Ta'ala, rather than just take your money, and I don't want to accept this type of money. So anyway, he accepted, he acknowledged. The following morning, he said, Mawlana, I made Tawbah, and my intention is now, whether you know about it or you don't know about it, but I want to give in to the madrasa. Now, so now I can accept it. But at that time, your intention was mixed up. Now, sometimes it is because of conflict. You know, it's a conflicting interest. Sheikh must be happy, the peer must be happy, Allah Ta'ala must be happy. Now, that's a conflict of interest. One person came to Mawlana and he gave a gift of 25 rupees. We're talking about intention and the importance of intention and how relaxed we are in respect to that intention. Initially, like I say, when we start off, then we are very, very particular, very careful of the intention. But as we move on, then we are not that particular, we're not that careful. Whereas the entire deed depends on the purity of the intention. So he's come out and he's given Mawlana 25 rupees. Mawlana accepted approximately 8 or 10 rupees, I can't remember the exact amount, and the rest returned it back to this person. Anyway, this person was back going home, and one friend met up with him and said, hey, but what happened? Mawlana returned that 15 rupees, took only 8 or 10 rupees, what happened? So he says, hey, you know what I understand now? That only that which is done with the purity of intention is accepted by Allah Ta'ala. And that which is contaminated, then that contamination Allah Ta'ala doesn't want. So his friend asked him, but what happened? He said, no, initially I had the intention of giving just 10 rupees. But then I thought to myself, you know, I'm such a great person. I'm such a great person. I'm only going to give 10 rupees, then it won't look right. It won't seem pleasant. In Gujarat they say, ni haru laghe. It won't look nice. It won't appear nice. So just to cover up, I added another 15 rupees and I gave it so that it is in conformance with my position and my martaba. Murad was told about this whole thing. Now look how Allah Ta'ala guards His people. He selected servants, how Allah Ta'ala guards them. Murad was informed about this. So Murad says, I wouldn't have accepted all that money. But what happened was that just the previous day, the firewood ran out in the home. And I pleaded to Allah Ta'ala that I don't have firewood. Allah Ta'ala make some arrangement for it. And I don't want to get into debts. That was Murad's tabiat, that he didn't want to get into debts. Allah Ta'ala make some arrangement for me, and I don't have the firewood, and I don't have the means for it. So in the meanwhile, someone came with the firewood, and so that the parcel is here, but this is the price, 10 rupees or whatever it was. Now I told him, all right, by this afternoon or by the next morning, I will give it to you. And meanwhile, I am begging Allah Ta'ala, this is a debt on my head. I don't like to sleep with a debt. Allah Ta'ala make the arrangements for it. So the debt is 10 rupees, and this person brought 25 rupees, I returned the list. I only required the 10, I didn't require the 25, but I didn't require, I returned it. And I would have, had I not had this debt, I wouldn't have accepted anything. Only because I had this debt, therefore I had to accept that. And I accepted it, and I was reluctant to accept it at that time, I was accepting it as well. Because within my mind, I was arguing, must I accept it or not? My mind was telling me that I mustn't accept it. Then another thought came to my mind, and that thought was this, that you had asked Allah Ta'ala, now Allah Ta'ala made the arrangements, now you're rejecting it, now Allah Ta'ala will displease Him, that we're giving it to you, now you're rejecting, why are you rejecting? Then why did you ask us in the first place? That you wanted to reject, we are giving you, then why are you rejecting it? So this struggle was going in my mind, and I had to give preference to this thought, because I had made the dua in the morning. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala is answering the dua, now I'm rejecting it, then it would have been wrong. Intention. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah says to this Mawlana Habibur Rahman Sahib, that intention. I say Allah Ta'ala looks after His servants. One person came to Saharanpur and he brought a whole lot of khajur. It's a nice place, nice plate, very well laid out and displayed very, very well in that container, and he presented it to Mawlana. So Mawlana just took 3 of the khajurs that were before him and he returned the rest, telling him that, you see, we are receiving gifts all the time. This is the barakat of Medina Munawwara, I can't reject it. So I took the barakat. You will also need. So you rather take it. You will be more deserving, because when a person brings this type of stuff from Medina, he doesn't bring in big quantities, in small quantities he brings. Right? Now you're seeing people are importing and selling in town, right? But at that zaman, are you talking of 70 years, 60 years back, they weren't importing. Whatever you can carry along with you, you are carrying along with you. So that 2-3 khajurs that were in front, Mawlana accepted that, and the rest he returned it. So this person went out and he's telling his friend, bas pata ho gaya, malum ho gaya, ke jo banawati cheez hai, wo khuda ke yahan chal nahi sakti. The thing that is made up, that cannot work in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. Bhai, kya ho gaya, what happened? He says, no, I had only that 3 khajurs from Medina. I left it right in the front, and the rest was just displayed just to cover up for myself. And Shaykh only accepted that 3, and the rest he returned it. So I understood, I came to the conclusion, what is done for show and what is done for a display, there is no room for that by Allah Ta'ala. Only that which is done with absolute sincerity is accepted. Now, this aspect of sincerity is many a times ignored. Small, you know, it won't look nice. In this janaza, if we didn't go, so it doesn't look nice. In this wedding now, what they will say? You know, at least we must go and meet that bridegroom. What will happen? So our intention and our niyat has to be rectified. I don't say we don't go to these places, but our intention, what is the intention? The intention has to be right. And we need to keep on correcting ourselves. There mustn't be a point where we say, no, I have corrected, now I am beyond. That intention, you don't know which moment it will just smash you down. One Buzurg came to meet some Haji Sahib, you see. So the Haji Sahib tells his Khadim, Khadim, you know what, that container we brought in the third Hajj, just bring some Zamzam in that, from that container. That container that we brought in the third Hajj, then bring some Zamzam from that container. So this Buzurg is telling him, by Hazrat, in this one sentence of yours, you have smashed down three Hajjs. What was the need for you to advertise this three Hajj? What was there need for you to advertise three Hajj? You say that you could have said that Zamzam that we've got, just bring some of that Zamzam to us. But to say it in this way, that Zamzam that we had fetched in the third Hajj, fetch some water in that and bring it to us. What was the need for that? You see this niyat, this intention, and what a delicate thing, what a sensitive thing, and how it smashes you down. So Hazrat explained to this Mawlana Habibur Rahman Sahib that this is the beginning of the Sawf. And I say you, that really right till the end, you have to keep correcting yourself. I'm just explaining certain examples that we begin to understand where we are going wrong. See, the examples is to illustrate for us to jog the mind and to try and make out, all right, where am I going wrong? Am I going wrong here? Where am I going wrong? And he says, you need to work yourself to the point, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. Both the hadiths, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ and أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. That's also a hadith. You begin to worship Allah Ta'ala with that consciousness of mind as though you are watching Him. This ibadat and this worship doesn't confine itself just to namaz. In fact, the Muslim's entire life is ibadat. He's going to his business, he's going to his practice, he's going to his work. So at any point in time, that niyat of his is right. Even he's going to work. He's going to work, but the niyat is right. There is no flaw in that niyat. The niyat is, for example, you're going to your business, you're going with this intention that Allah Ta'ala has made certain obligations upon me to look after وَالْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The Quran Sharif says, وَالْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Allah Ta'ala has put this obligation upon me, has made this obligation upon me, that I must take care of the wife and the children, and in a reasonably good manner, بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, in a reasonably good manner, I must take care of them. So this is an obligation I'm going out to execute, I'm going out to fulfill this obligation. So now you're going out to fulfill this obligation, every step of yours, you are reaping sawab. You're in the business, you are reaping sawab. You're coming back, you are reaping sawab. You're not going out empty-handed and coming back empty-handed. You're going out with that explicit intention, Allah Ta'ala has given me this obligation, I'm going out to fulfill this obligation. Now that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala is there whilst you are in your business. Now that client is coming, right? Woman client, how do you deal with that woman client? Anta abudallah. Do you see the intention, how it plays and how it features? And then you see the business, and how does it feature? The client has come, it's a woman. How do you work? How do you conduct yourself at that moment? At that moment, you have to inspect the heart. What's playing up in the heart? Today we were doing that one saying of Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayh. You recite listening to a qiraat, a recitation of the Quran Sharif, but it is the recitation of a young boy, a young lad, right? It is the recitation of a qari'a, not qari'a, qari'a, right? You are listening to her qiraat. Now, what goes through your mind? I asked one person, very fond of qiraat, so he's telling me, you know what, Mawlana, let's listen to that Indonesian qari'a, woman qari'a, you know, listen to her. So I asked him, we are friends, we can speak to you, we can speak openly, it's in confidence, right? We're not going to disclose this and advertise this through the entire world that so and so did this and this and this. I asked him, but precisely at the moment you are listening to that qiraat, what goes through your mind when you are listening to that Indonesian qari'ah? What goes to your mind? So he says to me that I'm imagining how sweet her lips will be and how her cheeks will be. My mind is going in a different tangent. I said, then is it permissible for you to listen to that qiraat? The qiraat is Allah Ta'ala's word. There is no two ways about it. But when you are listening, you are a man after all. Where is your mind running that? Where is your mind running? Now, when your mind is running like that, and you are listening to that recitation for that intention, is it permissible for you? Is it right for you? So you see the consciousness, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you write in your business, how is the state, what is the state of the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. One person wrote up to one buzurg that, you know, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah ta'ala, مُجَى صِفَةِ إِحْسَانِ حَاسِلْ هَي. I do have this sifat, this quality of ihsan, I do have it, I enjoy it, I experience it in my namaz. That buzurg asked him, alright, is it something that is restricted to your salah? Or do you experience the same thing whilst you with your family and children? So no, I don't find it. There I lose myself, I say things I'm not supposed to be saying. So brother, you don't have it. Really, you don't have it. If you have this sifat of the consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, then it must be not only restricted to your salah, it must be in your home as well, it must be in the business as well. Wherever you are, you got the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala watching. Allah Ta'ala is watching. Now that is what is called, that you have acquired the sifat, you have achieved this quality of the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, I was getting at this question Mawlana Habibur Rahman Sahib had put to Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi. And the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi told him that in that 2 minutes, yeah, he was for half an hour, and he says, no, Shaykh, it's such a complicated question that he'll need 3-4 days to research so many kitabs and discuss and all that and come to this conclusion. But Shaykh gave it to him off the cuff. When he returned after the 3 days, he went to three or four days to Raipur when he returned to Saharanpur. So he says to Shaykh, you know what? That I thought about the answer that you had given me, and I tried to explain my mind. There can be this objection and this question can come up, and it can be this ishkal and this objection and this question can come up. But that answer that you gave me was just in 2 words, in 2 sentences. But it was so comprehensive that I can't make an objection. No question can come about. Because it covered every aspect. Every aspect has been covered. Get the niyat right and get the consciousness right. The niyat right and the awareness right. Now you have covered it. It's comprehensive. It's not just one aspect of deen, rather it's a total, it's encompassed the whole thing. So this is the real essence of tasawuf. This is the very, very basis of tasawuf. Correct your niyat and bring yourself to that position at all moments of your life, every moment of your life. كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. You are watching him. He is watching you. You are watching him and he is watching you. One of the two, he is watching you, you are watching him. But at any given moment of your life, this is the state of the mind. So I was explaining this verse of the Quran, that اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ is the very essence of the entire Surah Fatiha. And Surah Fatiha is the text of the entire Quran Sharif. And this اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ is such a comprehensive and such a magnificent, such a dynamic verse that it covers all your problems related to this world and the problems related to the next. Can you see how dynamic this verse is? Very, very dynamic. Just that we read it parrot fashion, we read it and we don't consider the depth of the verse. Really, it's got this dynamic force in it. The person writing his examination, he's screwed well. He's got all the answers right. Man is in the qabr and the munkar nakir are interrogating him. So If he's got ihdinas sirat al-mustaqim, he's got it. He's got it right there. He's before Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And there are five questions that are going to be put forth before you can move. Where did you earn your money and how did you spend it? And what, to what extent you practiced upon the ilm that you had acquired? And then your youth and your life, how did you spend it? How do you conduct it? So all these questions are going to be put. But you got ihdina sirat al-mustaqim at that point. You're moving, you're flying all the time. To the extent, on the lighter side, it's a fact, it's a real thing. One woman complained to Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi that I want to get the center path on my head. I want to get the center path on my head. I'm not getting it right. My hair is so hard, you know. It's so hard and I can't get the center path. So Mawlana told her, just recite Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim whilst you are combing your hair. She recited the dua and there she's got the center path. She's got it right. Do you see this dua? Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Allah Ta'ala grant us that straight path. How much we are in need of this. In every moment of our lives, we are driving, we require Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Don't you see? One second, the driver, just gone off. And there's a smash up. Just one second, one moment. And we hear sometimes, there was a burglary, there was a hold up, and lucky I wasn't there. See? Had I been there, I would have been finished, I would have been a victim. Allah Pak guided you. Allah Pak guided you at that moment, you don't be there. Had you been standing there, then your brains would have been smashed. But Allah Ta'ala just made it happen that you aren't there at that time. I remember around 1979, it was perhaps 79 or 80, I can't remember. We were just returning at the time of Hajj. So we were scheduled to come to India, I think. And there was an old chacha, Ovi chacha, living in the Masjid flats. So he was really frustrated and angry with the airways that he had booked for this. I got a confirmed ticket. My ticket is confirmed. But they say there's no place for me on the flight. I see my ticket is confirmed. I went to the counter, they say also it's confirmed. But then they say the plane has been filled and there's no place for you. Anyway, man is really angry. And he's an aged person obviously now, he thinks differently. So we're still standing at the airport, I think just half an hour, we're still standing at the airport trying to sort out his ticket, our tickets, etc. And there we hear that thing was just over near Riyadh or something, I can't remember exactly. And something failed, the thing crashed and all the passengers have passed away. All, the last passengers passed away. Now Allah Ta'ala blessed him with Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, he was on the right. Though for himself at that moment, he couldn't see it, he couldn't understand it. He's blaming this person here, why they did this and how come they took my seat away, I got a confirmed ticket and how can they do it, it's a Muslim people, Muslim company and how can they do this? And meanwhile, just half an hour later, he understood that whole place has been wiped out, all the passengers have died. Allah Ta'ala wanted to save him. Allah Ta'ala made some bahana, some excuse has come about and he's been saved. Do you see this? The magnificence, the comprehensive nature of this verse, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Really, these masnoon du'as, these du'as that appear in the Quran Sharif, some portion of it, we need to recite every day. You see these kitabs, Munajat al-Maqbool, Al-Hizbul Azam. All these kitabs have recorded all masnoon du'as, du'as that are contained in the hadith, du'as that are contained in the Quran Sharif. And they need to be recited, they need to be asked, they need to be begged. You ask Allah Ta'ala, you beg Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It's not just reciting some words, you ask Allah Ta'ala. But make it a habit, make it a routine. That you have got something and you're reciting all the time. You're reciting each day. And if a person is in a routine, then I think that one day's dua will take you maximum 6 minutes. 6 minutes, all right, 7 minutes. Someone is doing it in a more qiraat style, with all the tajweed and everything. Then perhaps it may take him about 7 minutes. But in 5 or 6 minutes, you can clear that whole manzil, that whole day's duas you can complete. But how much have you secured for your own self? Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Surah Fatiha itself is the greatest surah in the Quran Sharif, like Ayatul Kursi is the greatest ayat, then Surah Fatiha is the greatest surah. Now, I started off this talk about reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it being impossible for reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the assistance of a guide. You need a guide, definitely you need a guide. You work under his guidance and you will reach. How many people try a lot of things, and the more they try, the more confused they become. Why? They feel, no, I can do it myself, and why do I need someone else to take me through? I don't need someone else, I can do it myself. Allah Ta'ala has worked it out in this way. For that matter, any profession, any science, a person wants to do a small thing, simple thing like tailoring, he can't do it himself. You require the assistance. Though, when you see that architect or something sketching, making a sketch, you say, what's the big deal about it? We ask, what is the big deal about it? You're seeing an artist doing some sketches. What's the big deal? Small scratches that he's making there, and some sketches he's making there with different paints and different colors and all that. I can do it myself. That thing is going for 50,000 rands. See? Now you begin to scratch your head that how, for the small little scratches that he's put up there, and he got 50,000 rand. But the one that appreciates it, he knows what is the value. Now you try and do the same scratch and see what happens. Perhaps you will have to pay to take it away. So, because we require each other, Allah Ta'ala has instituted the system that you need to cooperate. You need to cooperate in a small practice, in a big practice, wherever you are, whatever level, but you will definitely have to cooperate. You won't be able to accomplish this life of this world individually, independently. You can't do it. The wealthiest person requires the poorest person. The poorest person requires the wealthiest person, but Allah Ta'ala has made us interdependent. Tomorrow you want to build something, you're a multi-millionaire, but you require that small dagger boy to come and do that mixture. Without his cooperation, you can't carry on, you can't continue. You're running a big factory, you need the tea boy. Without the tea boy, your mind won't function. Your mind won't function. You require that person's assistance. So he made us like this. Why he made us like this? That we don't think too much of ourselves. Allah Pak doesn't like that. That you think yourself to be a humble person, Allah Ta'ala will love you, He will guide you all the way. You pass away, you need that person to come and dig the grave for you. Can you do it yourself? You can't do it yourself. You need that person to come and dig that grave for you. You can't do it yourself. So, what we learn is appreciating, number one. And number two, we learn to humble ourselves. Allah Pak loves this, really. They say, where there isn't a commodity, then that commodity is most appreciated. Right? Where there isn't the sun, then the people appreciate the sun. Now you go in London and all that, and there's a nice, bright, beautiful day. They will really appreciate it. Yeah, we're seeing the sun every day. So we don't appreciate it. But ask those people that are living there, Ireland and Poland and London and all that, how they appreciate a nice, sunny, good, warm day. How much they appreciate it. Because they don't have it. And where we have it, we don't appreciate it. So in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, there's only highness and majesty. There's only greatness, this majesty, this greatness all the time, all the way. And what isn't there by Allah Ta'ala is humility. Someone lowering himself because he's high, he's magnificent, he's full of majesty. So what is appreciated by Allah Ta'ala is this aspect of humility. You humble yourself, you lower yourself. Ji, main kuch nahi hu. Apne ko fana kar, ji. This is what Allah Ta'ala appreciates. In a namaz also, you from the beginning till the end, you just fanaing yourself, you just finishing yourself, nothing, I'm nothing. You know, there is a verse of the Quran, Allah Pak tells us, Ista'inu bis sabri was salah. Take assistance through patience and salah. Now what is the link between sabr and salah? Because Allah Pak is asking us that when you need to take my assistance, you need my assistance, then this is the prescription, sabr and salah. This is the prescription and you will go forward. So there is one thing that is common in sabr and salah. In sabr, You restrict yourself, you restrain yourself against things that are impermissible. Right? Impermissible things, mustn't make gussa, yeah, don't make gussa. You held yourself. Right? You wanted to blow up your top, but you thought to yourself, no, Allah Pak doesn't like me to show him anger, so I held myself. You wanted to hit the person, but you said, no, let me make sabr. You want to eat, and that seems very, very tempting, but you feel that the ingredient is not right, so you restrained yourself. So that is the essence of sabr, that you restrain yourself from an area that was impermissible. Then what is salah? So the essence of salah is that you don't only restrain yourself from impermissible things. You restrain yourself from things that are permissible as well. Now you're in namaz, you can't look around. Whereas it was permissible for you to look around. Look here, up, down, everywhere. It was permissible for you to look. Now permissible areas also you can't look. It was permissible for you to talk. Right? Now you can't even talk. One word, your namaz is gone. Just one word you made, and your namaz is gone. It was permissible for you to talk, you can't talk. It was permissible for you to eat, you can't eat. Right? It was permissible for you to walk around and move around, you can't even walk around. It was permissible for you to allow your mind to wander in the fields of thought and imagination, right? To wander around. Now in namaz, try and focus. Don't allow your mind to deliberately float around. Refocus on that salah. Don't move around. So the common thing is restraint. In namaz and in sabr, the thing that is required is restraint. Right? That's a common thing. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَةِ When you need to take the assistance of Allah Ta'ala, then it's with restraint. And this restraint again comes with a little bit of humility. No. Why must I do this? Why must I do this? No. Not why must I do this. You have to do it. You have to train yourself that I have to do it. No matter come what may. But I have to do it. I know I need to learn that humility. I am dust and I am going to return to dust. So I need to understand that. I can't have everything my way. It is someone else's. This factory is someone else's. This home is someone else's. He is the manager of the factory. He is the owner. He is the manager. He is the controller. He will control it as he pleases. You can't ask him now, why have you got this type of an operation, this type of a system? He can't ask you. We all are workers there. In the factory of Allah Ta'ala, in the grand plan of Allah Ta'ala, we all workers. All. We aren't required here. We aren't needed. Allah Pak just gave us a place. He's given us a work in this factory. He has given us a place, He has given us work in this factory. We need to be appreciative. Otherwise, He could dispose of us. He didn't really require us. The man in the factory, he requires us, right? But Allah Ta'ala, in His factory, does He require us? He doesn't require us. He is the controller. He is the manager. He is the owner. Absolute owner. He doesn't require anybody's assistance. We say, oh, never mind. I give you a place. So your prosperity lies in restricting yourself to the job that was consigned to you, was assigned to you. You were assigned with this job. You keep yourself tied up with the job that we give you. Then you don't allow your mind to run around in other areas. What's happening in that department? What's happening here? And why this? And why not that? Don't ask a million and one questions. As our factory, we will run it, and we will run it in the way we want. So you don't ask why we have done this. That you are questioning our authority. That's not your right. It's not your place to ask our authority, to question our authority. What we have done, we know what we have done. You don't question our authority. Doesn't it happen in any business? Let alone a business. You have got a small dwelling, right? You got a toho boy for the day, right? You got a toho boy for the day. And sometimes during the day, a toho boy comes up to you and he says, you know, you've got all your daughters in parda. They've got them in the home. I want to see your daughters. See? And you know your tijori, where you keep all your money, you stash away all your jewelry and everything. I want to see all that. What will you tell him? Bhai, I suppose to employ you to the end of the day, you better leave now. Why don't you say this? So you're so upset about it. So this is the private property of Allah Ta'ala. Why he's done this? Why he's done that? That is his privacy. You got no right to question his authority at all. Why is made five times namaz? Why is made the sun rise like this? Why is cold here? Why is hot that side? Why this person is living? Why that person is dying? Why this person is sick? Why this person is healthy? That is, he is right. Why is done it? Why is planned it? It's not your place to ask. Like, you take it personal, right? We only learn things when it affects us. When it doesn't affect us, we don't think about it. We want to know this, 101 thing we want to know. But when it affects us personally, then really, really we are affected. He wants to know about my daughter. He wants to know about my privacy. What right it gives to him? What he's got another agenda here. Why he wants to know all these things? So we feel affected. Don't you feel affected? Where are you putting away your uplang? Where are you doing? What are you doing? What money is? What are you doing with it? Now what happens to you? By this my private, what is this person come? Is he an investigator or what? Why someone has set him up here? For what he set him up here? So your mind begins to ask you 101 question, and you say, no, that's the end of our partnership, and you move away. I can't tolerate you. I'd rather live without you. I'll maintain my peace, my serenity without you. So similarly, exactly the same, if you want the serenity of life, then don't ever ask the authority of Allah Ta'ala. Why Allah Ta'ala has done this, why he's done this, and why he hasn't done this. Don't ask. This is the command of Allah Ta'ala. Give it. Zakat, give it 2.5%. Roza, keep it. Don't worry. Why does Allah say this? And namaz, must read now Fajr time. Hey, it's so cold and all that. Winter morning. Can't we just read in the house? Can't we just postpone it for about 9 o'clock? It'll be nice and warm. And then you won't feel so hard about the whole Fajr namaz. Can't we just postpone it then? But that's not your place, not my place. Nobody's place. It is Allah Ta'ala's place to give that type of commands. Yeah, just switch on that light. Right. So, ihdinas sirat al-mustaqim, we are talking about. Ihdinas sirat al-mustaqim. And I explain the importance of cooperation, that we will definitely require someone. We can't do things ourselves. Mawla Ta'ala takes an qasam. You can't reach Allah Ta'ala. You will need someone. You will need someone to assist you. Hold your hand. Right? Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Don't do this, do this. All the way you'll need it. You running your business. Right? Someone else can come and run your business as efficiently as yourself. You know your business better than anybody else. You don't have the level of confidence in that person. He must know your business. For him to be successful, he must know your business. Otherwise, you don't want to hold him in that respect and that confidence. Mawla Thamiz Abrahman says, the danger about doing things oneself, not consulting what happens. There's one pious person, very pious. Many people, they have got good hearts. They have got good hearts, good intentions, pious person, trying to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a certain feeling had overcome his mind. And the feeling that overcame his mind, that I'm the worst sinner in the world. There isn't a sinner that is as worse as myself. Now, in this path, you do get this type of feeling sometimes, right? At that time, you urgently require assistance. It's an emergency situation. It's an emergency situation. You need someone's help at that time. So now, he's a pious person, tahajjud, everything. But now, this thought is playing up in his mind that there isn't a sinner as worse as him. As bad as him, he's the worst person. Thought of him being shaitan, Such a bad person I am. And these people consider themselves to be bad, even though they don't do bad. Just one small mistake and they feel, hey, there's such a decay in my body. There's such a decadence, such a rot in my body, such a contamination. So really, I'm a serious problem. A small thing in them. That is why one Rum Rahmatullah says, Bardila Salik Hazarha Rambuad. He says, at the heart of the Salik, the person that is walking this path, there will be 1,001 worries if he finds a small deficiency in the relationship between him and Allah Ta'ala. He finds a small interruption, small interruption, and there's 1,001 worries. How to understand this? How to understand this at your level, right? You come home, right? Walk in, say, Assalamu alaikum, and the wife is turned away. She's not even greeting you. She gives you Assalamu alaikum. Normally she'll come and say, Hazrat, you come, what you want, what must I feed you? And she's not making any approaches to you. She's not giving you the hospitality that you are used to. I'm hungry. Go help yourself. I'm hungry. Go help yourself. Now you found a difference in the relationship. When you see that difference, that indifferent feeling in the relationship, what happens to your mind? So what is it? What happens? What has happened now? What has happened now? Now, in bed now, she's got her face turned on the other way, and you got your face turned in the other way. Now, you're trying to scratch your head. Where I went wrong now? The morning, did I say something? When I telephoned her, did I say something? Where it went wrong? You're making muraqabah. Right. You are meditating now, but what are you meditating? Where I went wrong? Right. Then now, that whole night is going past. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, the sleep is not coming. So you're trying to patawa her, you're patawing her, pampering her. What happened now? She don't want to listen to you. These things happen, right? But sometimes I think, when there's an interruption with the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had we only suffered that type of anxiety, Allah ta'ala, I made a mistake. Allah ta'ala, you correct me, forgive me. We become so over concerned with that interruption. In the interruption with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we looked at a girl, we don't think anything much about it. Right? We hear the voice of a woman and we entertain some thoughts, right? And we don't think much about it. What an interruption it causes. It doesn't interfere with us, it doesn't interrupt us. We hear the voice of a young boy and some type of thoughts run through our mind. And we don't think much about it. Does it cause an interruption or doesn't it cause? It definitely causes an interruption. But just that our hearts have become hardened. So we can't feel the gravity of it. We can't feel the severity of it. Why? The heart is hardened. One person looked at a girl and he admired her. Right? In the dream he sees a voice is calling out to him that this world is our house. This world is our house. Allah is calling out to him. This world is our house. People here are my slaves. Right? Men or women, slave men or slave women, they are all minds. Right. And the one that is casting a lustful glance, that is looking into our private property, we have declared that as impermissible, haram. That is our private property. You are not supposed to be looking there. So we declare that as haram. We declare that as forbidden. And we take it personally like how if someone has to peep into your privacy, you in the privacy of your room, right? You engage with your family and someone has to look in, how personally don't you take it? So this is the personal, this is the privacy of Allah Ta'ala. He's made that woman, but it's his privacy. Right? Like you get affected, then Allah Ta'ala also takes it seriously. You get affected, definitely. If someone is peeping into your privacy, you get affected. How can he do it? I'll get that person, I'll kill him. How can he do such a thing? It's my privacy, it's my honor, my respect, my reputation. Everything is gone. You see, it comes back to the same point that we need to understand our positions. We are slaves of Allah Ta'ala. And that slave needs to just conform all the way. He just needs to conform. Whatever, big or small, you conform. And really, the ease of your mind, the comfort of your heart, is just in conform. You just conform and you see everything is working out. Everything is easy. But the moment you put up any type of resistance, you put up a struggle, now, from this point, you are in difficulty. You're just conforming, it's easy. You don't have any burden on your head. Why must you take that additional stress upon your head? Just conform, just agree. You agree in agreement and everything is just moving. Everything is just happening automatically. But the moment you put up in resistance, now you see the problem. You have to face the music. You have to stand up to everything. You see the importance of having a guide, having someone to hold your hand and lead you through, right through. You need the person all the time, right through. You can't manage it. There must have been some reason for Allah Ta'ala saying, Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Allah Ta'ala, lead us on the path of your favored servants. Lead us on the path of your favorite servants. So Allah Ta'ala knew that you will not be able to reach him. On your own, you will not be able to reach him. If you want to reach him, you will have to take up the path of the favored servants. And you'll be able to take up the path of the favored servants when you have got an understanding, you have got an association with them, you have got an affinity with them. You know, you got an affinity with them, now you got an affinity with the path. You don't have an affinity with them, how are you going to have an affinity with the path? You don't know the path. How are you going to reach them? Sirat al-Ladin al-Amta alim. I was thinking in my mind, why did Mawlana make this type of statement, you know, that he's taken an oath that you cannot reach? I come to this conclusion that it is because of the same surah, Sirat al-Ladin al-Amta alim. So when Allah Pak has declared that you will need the company, the assistance, the guide, the support, the cooperation of the mun'am alayhim, the favored, then there is no two ways, you will have to be there. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you will have to be there. You look, Jamaat, Tabligh Jamaat, right? They also, you've got the assistance and the guidance of one elder, and you move accordingly. Now if someone comes and he says, you know what, the gush must be done like this, and you don't have to go for gush like this, you can just appear over the radio, over the television and make gush for everybody. You reach so many millions of people in 5 minutes, you'll reach everybody. Over the radio you can do it. Will they accept it? You'll have to do it in that same way. So no, why must you go, you know, be in the 21st century? Why must you go in this type of way? Some type of amusing things happen, you know. One marital problem. So the girl is sitting with her parents, and the husband is sitting with his parents. All is mixed now. The father is shouting his daughter, but you know what, you must listen to your husband. So the girl turns around and says, you know, father, daddy, I am a girl of the 21st century. You know? I belong to the 21st century. See, there's non-compliance. This is a problem. Really, this is a problem. It kills you. Especially now, you can't bring out a reconciliation. I belong to the 21st century, so what? Then what? You're still insan, you're still human being. You still have to eat, you still have to drink, you still need the same type of requirements, whether you're in the 21st century or whether you're in the first century, your requirements are the same. You can't say you belong to the 21st century, so you come from Mars or somewhere, and your requirements are totally different. No, your requirements are still the same. If you want to coexist, you know, the requirements are the same. The same thing of compliance. Just comply with Allah Ta'ala's command. Wherever you are, just comply. And feel comfortable. Say, think to yourself, convince yourself that this is the best way. This is the way. You'll find ease, right through ease you'll find. Just compliance, but the compliance from the heart. Allah Ta'ala, what you said is right. I'm going by it. If you are lazy, Allah Ta'ala, make me maaf, I'm a little bit lazy for doing it. But what you're saying is right. I must do it. At least show that type of regret and remorse in your heart that what Allah Pak is saying is right. What I'm doing is my laziness, my stupidity. Allah Pak, make me maaf for that. Allah Pak, tawfiq nasib.